Father, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you for your blessing on this Christmas day. We thank you, Lord. The Bible says that you so loved the world that you did not keep, but you gave your only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You did not keep your only begotten Son, Lord. You gave him up for us. And this morning we celebrate it. We celebrate such generosity and such thoughtfulness and such depth of love that makes you not do what we all do when we have something the only one we have. We hold back and we keep, but you gave even when he was your only one. And today we thank you for sending Jesus into this earth to live and to fight the things we fight and to conquer them and to live and set an example for us, and in the end to give his life for us, that we might be saved and might become the sons of God. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas, and we do not take the season for granted at all. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing during the season. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. Amen. Right. One of the reasons why we're having a Christmas service today is, you know, see that sometimes you need to do something for the symbolism. Amen. Amen. You need to do something. We're not having a Christmas service because we're the largest church or the greatest church around, but we're having a Christmas service for the symbolism. Amen. Amen. So that we build on it. It's the first of many, many more to come. Amen. Amen. If the Lord tarries, we're going to have many more Christmas services. Amen. And we'll have many more people attending Christmas service. Amen. Amen. Many Americans do not go to church on Christmas Day. Even American Christians, I think, is a great opportunity that we miss. It's the day we could have made the loudest statement about who Jesus is, and a day that we celebrate his birth. You know, but for some reason, culturally, many people do not go to church. But in our church, we do. Amen. Amen. I don't know, can we do something about this? In our church, we do. And we will continue to do it until Jesus comes. Say amen. Amen. All right. Today I want to share with you for a short time a small message which has only 3 points, and then we'll be done. Amen. Amen. The title of my message today is When God Has a Baby. When God has a baby. When God makes a baby. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God often has babies. Amen. Amen. God often has babies. You know, I was actually looking up the meaning of the word baby in the dictionary, because I was just thinking, what is the meaning of baby? Why are they called babies? Do you see? And I found amongst the definitions that baby is actually a descriptive word. Wow. Do you understand? It just describes anything that is small and comparatively little. Hallelujah. Anything that is small and which is compared to other things, little. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why you can have a baby car. We mean that it's a small car. Like if you have a mini, you have a baby car, isn't it? If you have one of those little, what's the name of that car? The smart car. The smart car is a baby car, isn't it? As opposed to an S-Class Mercedes, which will be more like a papa. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So when we say God has babies, we mean that God often has small beginnings. Hallelujah. God often has beginnings that are relatively or comparatively small compared to other things. Hallelujah. Really, you can have a baby version of anything. Do you understand? Sometimes even when people are making little efforts towards something, we say they are taking baby steps. Isn't it? So even your steps, there are baby versions of your steps. So I guess that is the reason why when you have small human beings who have just begun, who have just arrived in the world, then we call them babies. Do you see? Because comparatively they are also small and they have just begun. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God also has babies. Amen?
Amen.
Many of God's plans and God's purposes begin as babies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a verse we have read often in our church, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, that says the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, isn't it? And he says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it grows, hallelujah. And that verse basically tells us that God's system or God's way of doing things often involves taking something that is the least of other things compared or comparatively small, isn't it?
Yeah.
Says the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Hallelujah. So in God's system, or when God is doing something, he has a way of taking the least of things to create the greatest of things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has a way of taking the smallest of things to make the biggest of things. God has a way of taking little things that you may not have much respect for, and out of those things, he can create something that becomes your greatest blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That with God, your greatest blessing, the best thing that ever happened to you, could arise out of the least respected thing you have going on in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's how God works. And God often makes babies like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so 3 points I promised you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God makes babies, 3 characteristics of God's babies, or 3 things that happen when God makes his babies. Hallelujah. Number one, God's babies may not have an impressive beginning. Hallelujah. God's babies often do not have an impressive beginning. Hallelujah. So in the book of Luke chapter 2, you know, Zola read the scripture graciously for us. Luke chapter 2 and from verse 11. Let's read from verse 11 onwards. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then in the next verse, verse 12, he says, this shall be a sign unto you. Now, this is where the anticlimax is created. You see, because you would have thought that following a line like, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then he says, and this is how you will recognize him. This shall be a sign unto you. Wow. It's like, get ready for the description. Do you understand? Get ready for what we are going to say about this Savior. I mean, somebody who is going to become a savior. I mean, if you were in a fight with some people and someone came to rescue you and the person showed up and he was as skinny as Paul. I mean, even your heart will sink. You see what I'm saying? Because if you were fighting somebody who was about, your person who weighs about 300 pounds, maybe two of those guys, and you get into some kind of situation with these people and they are up against you and they are about to beat you up. And then a savior appears. An announcement is made that unto you this day is born unto you a savior, which is Christ the Lord. You're expecting that your savior must at least weigh what? 350 at least. Minimum. So when your Savior shows up and he's barely hitting 80 pounds, you can actually lose hope. Hallelujah. He said, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So what? A shock. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 13, he says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, only the angels can sing this kind of song. Looking at what is in the manger, a savior that is in this manger, you cannot easily be singing such a song. You may not see peace and goodwill arising out of the circumstance you're looking at. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God's plans and purposes often begin like that. And God's babies are often not impressive. Hallelujah. And yet, can you imagine that around this unimpressive baby, there are angels? Angels are there in this place and they're singing and they're saying that you may not be so impressed, but there is peace and goodwill towards men, that it has begun right now in this place because of the birth of this baby. Hallelujah. Amen. So we as a church are one of God's babies. Amen. This church, when you start a church, God has had a baby. Amen. When you start a new church, every time a new church begins, God has had a new baby. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And commonly, God's babies in the form of a new church are not so impressive, isn't it? Yeah. They are born wrapped in swaddling clothes and they lie in mangers. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, you need to have an eye for small things and learn how to see God in unimpressive things, even in unimpressive people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Commonly, for example, when people are choosing a beloved or someone to get married to or something like that, you know, they have a lot of mangerly encounters. Yeah, mangerly encounters. Do you get it? Because you may come across a brother or a sister who appears not only to have been born in a manger, but seems to have remained in the manger and seems to continue to live in the manger. He's not impressive. How can you see a savior in such a person? Even if angels came to announce and they said, unto you is born this day into your life a savior, you're going to have a hard time to see a savior in a manger. a savior in such a brother. I mean, he's so lean. He has nothing. And he's wearing swaddling clothes. You get it? Swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are, you know, that to swaddle is to wrap the baby tightly. You see, when the babies are born, you see how they wrap them tightly, no space. And sometimes the way brothers come, they are so swaddled in their skinny jeans, which they are not wearing because of the fashion, but because of the economics. Do you get it? It's not trendiness that has put them in those clothes, but it is the economics of their life that has put them in those swaddling tight clothes. You can see that the sleeves have become short, so they pull it. They just pull it up. But the truth is that even if they put it down, it was only going to come this far. Hallelujah. How do you see a savior in such a person? You need special eyes. Hallelujah. God's babies often are not very impressive. Hallelujah. They are not very, very impressive. But you must be careful that you do not walk past God's baby or a great savior that God has brought into your life just because of how they appear or because of how they present. Hallelujah. Amen. That baby was born in a manger, but that baby was never meant to live in a manger. Amen. That baby was born, began his life in a manger, but his destination was the right-hand side of God the Father Almighty. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do not judge babies by their entrance, by the way they look when they appear. Do not judge the destiny of babies and the future of babies by how they appear. Because the manger is deceptive. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The manger is deceptive. If you judge this church by where we are meeting, you judge this church by how many people are in the choir, if you judge the church by who is left when the choir is singing, you know, if you judge the church by the preaching in the church, you will be making a mistake. You will be making a mistake. You will be making a mistake. Because we may be in a manger, but the manger is just a stage. The manger is a season. Everybody has a mangerly season in their lives. Every great thing has a mangerly season. Can you believe the verse we read before? He said that even though it's the least of all seeds, it's the least of all seeds. That means you count all the seeds that are, or things that are called seeds, similar things, comparable things, and this is the last one that you can call a seed. After this one, you can't call it a seed anymore. It's the least of all seeds. And can you believe that? It is still the greatest among herbs. Can you imagine that the greatest among herbs is actually the least of all seeds? The smallest one is actually the greatest. Can you believe it? It says it's the greatest among herbs. Herbs have seasoning power. We put herbs in things to enhance their natural flavors. Do you understand? And it's talking about the greatest among herbs means you're talking about the thing that has the greatest potential to enhance your life and to bring out the best in you and to cause you to live your best life actually begins. It begins like the least of all seeds. Wow. Wow. Do not despise the manger. Amen. Do not despise the manger. Do not take the manger for granted. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Number two. The second thing that happens when God has a baby is that it is a privilege to be invited to attend to that baby. Hallelujah. When God has a baby, or whenever God has a baby, it will always be your privilege to be invited to attend to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The shepherds saw it. They saw the privilege. And they said, you know, it's a baby, it's in a manger, but it is worth a day off. I'm going to take the day off and go check out this baby. Because it is a privilege to be invited to see the baby. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not everyone gets to be invited to see the baby. See, there was this person called Herod. He wanted to see the baby. Do you see? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7. And verse 7, it says, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Can you see that? And verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Can you see that? But look what happened. Verse 12. When the people found the baby, verse 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Wow.
The people that Herod was counting on, you know, to find the baby and come and show him where the baby was, to give him the address of where to find the baby so he could also go and worship the baby as he claimed. The Bible says just when they left Herod, God appeared to them in a dream. And they said, no, Herod is not invited. That not everyone gets to handle my baby. Not everyone is invited to attend to my baby. Not everyone is invited to participate in the beginnings of the life of my baby. Not everyone gets the opportunity to join a church at the beginning. Not everyone gets the opportunity to be involved in the great and honorable work of starting a church, a house of God, a place where God's children gather and are nourished and watch it build up and start from nothing until it becomes something great. That is not everybody's privilege. For most people, their experience is to join a church when it's already called a church. When it looks like one, when it sounds like one, when it feels like one, when it preaches like one, when it worships like one, and it meets in a place like one, then they join it. Do you understand? That is the experience of the average person. But I tell you that there are a handful of special people that God calls upon from time to time and gives them the unique privilege of nursing his baby. God's baby is literally born onto their laps. And God's baby draws out of them sacrifice. God's baby draws out of them different things, you know, just to be able to see and to experience the privilege of watching God's baby grow. That is not a privilege that every single person has. And you people here today have that privilege. God has given it to you and you are blessed. Hallelujah. Look at Herod, a big man, very pompous person. And God says, no, you don't get to see my baby.
Wow.
You will meet him later.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll meet my baby later. When he's grown into a man, big man, you will meet him. But while he's still a baby, no, he's not for you. You don't even have the faith to respect him when you see him. You might even kill him. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the reason why Herod wanted to see the baby was different. He didn't want to worship. He just wanted to go despise and kill and destroy the baby. And sometimes there are some people who are destructive, you know, in their behavior and their disrespect and disregard for churches and new things. And they are not good people to have around when a church is starting. Hallelujah. Do you remember somebody in the Bible called Sambalat and somebody called Tobias? And these guys went to see Nehemiah, who was trying to build a wall. Then they went to Nehemiah and they asked him, what is this that you are doing? And when Nehemiah had put out his best effort and had built a wall, these guys stood back and they were just laughing. They said, the wall that you have built, if a fox just jumps over it, the wall will break. Is that a good thing to say? Is that a good compliment to make to someone who has, you know, he left his job and everything and has devoted his whole life to come and build a wall, you know, and then you are saying that the wall that he has built, all that a fox has to do is not to kick it, but just to jump over it. That if the fox is just to jump over it, the wind, you know, will break the wall down. Is this the sort of thing you need to hear when you're trying to put something together? You don't need to hear such things when you're trying to put something together. And there are people like that. They laugh at everything. They'll laugh at the attendance. They'll laugh at the choir singing. They'll laugh, you know, some of us, we are even blessed. We get to start a church with music and live music and so on. Many churches and many of our churches start with a boombox. All the musicians and everybody's in a box. You get it? Everybody's in a box. I tell you, the only thing is that they are very regular. They always come. They start when they are told to start and they end when they are told to end. You get it? So that's the only advantage. But all these, and they don't eat any food, you know, but all these musicians are in a box. And sometimes when you go to the church and you're expecting, you know, okay, so the church, so where is the church? You're already in the middle of the church. You're asking, where is the church? You know, and then you start the, what a shock. Do you guys want me to drop dead or what? Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, so you can see that you're in the middle of the church and you're still asking, where is the church? Do you see? Because it's not impressive. It's not impressive. It doesn't look beautiful. It doesn't look like anything that is anything big. You see what I'm saying? And there are people who do that. They laugh at the work of God. They laugh at the choir. You know, sometimes the pastor has come. As the pastor has come, he's everything. He's the usher. He's the worship leader. He's the preacher. He's the treasurer. He's everything in the church. And he's the one who carries the instrumentalists. You know, and then he brings them down and then he parks his car and moves the boxes in. And when he comes, sometimes some people are already waiting for him, visitors who have come and they're waiting for him. Say, excuse me, please. And he sets up the people, puts the instrumentalists in the right place, connects them to some power. And then he starts to clap his hands and they're singing. And people cannot even see a church in it at all. And such people sometimes can be discouraging. They can be a discouraging influence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I want you to understand that it's a privilege. Whatever you have to give up to attend to one of God's babies is worth it. Hallelujah. Whatever it costs you to make yourself available, Zola, you're going to be driving between San Francisco and California, Pastor, and Los Angeles, I mean. Pastor Munene, driving every week up and down, have your family living somewhere, and you are also, you know, perching somewhere under some bed somewhere, you know, whether you live in a house or in a tree, nobody even knows, you see. But I'm saying to you that whatever you give up to attend to one of God's babies is worth it. Hallelujah. Look, read the scripture with me. Read the scripture with me. Read the scripture with me. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then the next verse. And Excuse me. It says, and this shall be the sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Hallelujah. They said it's a privilege. We were sitting here, we were doing our work, and God himself came to invite us to come check out his baby. So they said, look, let us go. And verse 16 says, and they came with haste. They came with haste. They came with haste. It's a shame how sometimes we don't come with haste because we are going to see a baby. People do not come or approach the baby in haste, because there's not as much respect for a baby as there is for something that is mature and that is grown up. But the Bible says they came with haste. They said, let us go. God has given us an invitation. It is a privilege. Not everyone has this invitation. Not everyone has the opportunity. But we have been invited to come check out this baby. So let's go and support this baby. Let's go and visit this baby. Hallelujah. And they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Hallelujah. And verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they started to publish the news about the child. They went to talk about the baby. They didn't say when we went, well, if you're into mangers, then maybe you can go to that church.
Wow.
If you're not affected by mangers, maybe that's your kind of church. But they went and they said, they went to make known abroad. They went and they talked abroad. That means to publish and to make noise. They put it on Facebook, I tell you. They said, come check this baby out. They put it on Facebook. They put it on Twitter. They put it on every place, every social media. They told their friends. They made posters. They made banners. They told everybody about this baby. Because they found that, they said, this thing is special. It's a privilege to be invited. This is a baby that God himself has given birth to. And this baby deserves respect, deserves worship, deserves attendance, deserves patronage. And we are going to let everybody know about this great news. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So it's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. Babies always demand sacrifices of people who attend to them. Babies always demand sacrifices, and God's babies are just like that. God's babies always demand sacrifice. I mean, you can't just have a baby and still continue to live like everybody else. When you have a baby, it has implications. It eliminates you from certain places. You can't go everywhere. You can't have a baby and still go everywhere, just like everybody else. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why when God drops his baby on your lap, it's going to affect your travels. It's going to affect where you can go. It's going to affect your attendance at family gatherings, other important places and other things. You will see that you cannot go because of your baby. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's Christmas time. A lot of people are going on vacation. They're going away. You know, we have a baby. We cannot go anywhere. You have to be with the baby. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, when people have babies, even important places, they cannot go. They can't go to work. They can't go to school. They can't go to even very important places. Things that, you know, make a difference to their lives, that were originally a part of their lives. Some of those things will have to now be put away for a while because of the baby. That's why I'm saying that, you know, whatever sacrifice you have to make to attend to God's baby, it is worth it. When God drops his baby on your lap, it may mean that you cannot travel on certain at certain seasons, that you cannot go to certain places at certain times, or even if you go, you have to rush and come back. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You cannot do certain things like you used to do, because it's the nature of babies to make such demands on people who take care of them. Wow. Hallelujah. Yeah. But always keep your eye on the fact that it's a privilege. Not everyone, even those who want to do it, do not get the opportunity to do it. Hallelujah. So that's number two. Amen. Then number three. The last one. Amen. The last one is that when God has a baby, wise men see the blessing in the invitation and they come and worship the baby. Hallelujah. They come and worship him. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and wise men came to visit the baby. Hallelujah. The wise men came, and they came, and the Bible says they brought gifts. Hallelujah. They brought gifts to the baby. So when God has a baby, wise people come from very far away places, and they don't say that it's too far. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible says wise men came from the east and they traveled very far to come visit this baby. You know, and they never said, why do you have to go so far just to see a baby? Have you not seen a baby before? What is so special about this baby that you have to drive across town to go see this baby? Why do we have to go all the way across town to see this baby? Aren't there more mature people, more mature churches, more mature places right around the corner from us? Why do we have to go so far just to be with this one? But that's why the Bible calls them wise men. Means they were exceptional people. They were not your average person. Are you getting what I'm saying? They were not your average person. So you shouldn't be surprised that their actions are not your average person's actions. Do you see? Among Christians, you do find people whose actions are always the actions and the activities of an average Christian. Most Christians are oscillating between average and below average. But occasionally you meet some Christians who are shooting above the average person. Hallelujah. Who are shooting above the average Christian's behavior, who are prepared to make exceptional sacrifices, who are prepared to do exceptional things. And the Bible found some of those people and said, these people are wise. These are wise people. They are not ordinary people who do these kinds of things. And they came, the Bible says, they were following a star. Just that's all. They had just a star. And they followed the star, and they followed the star, and came to the manger. The Bible says when they came, the baby was at the inn. I mean, a rented place. That is what the inn is. When someone lives in an inn, it means he lives in a rented room with a rented bed and a rented lamp. Nothing in the room belongs to him. Not only are they renting some small space, do you see, in the inn, within that small space, they are in the manger section of the thing. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes people are put off by where the church meets. Oh, yeah. They go to a new church and they just look at the, because many churches start in people's apartments. Yeah. You know, and sometimes when you go to someone's apartment, especially if it's not a very big apartment, you can smell all kinds of things. Every food they have in their house is also making it, yeah, it's putting it, advertising itself. And sometimes you're not sure. I mean, when you leave such an apartment, you're smelling, everything is just mixed with your perfume and everything. You're not even sure who you are anymore. Hallelujah. And people are put off by such things. People are put off by churches that meet in very small spaces, you know, or spaces that don't have air conditioning, or they don't have maybe heat, or they don't have great parking, and they have to go around the block many times to find parking. And, you know, people don't like these things. People want to go to a church that has parking with an usher waiting in the parking lot, showing you where to put your car and meeting you with a smile and so on. That's not for babies. That's not for babies. It is like going to visit your friend who has a new baby, and when you get there, you are surprised that the new baby didn't come and meet you at the gate. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. No, babies don't do that. Babies leave you to find your way. And you make your way from the parking lot, and you come, because you came to see the baby. Yeah. The baby cannot get up and come and meet you. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? But as the baby grows, things change. Yeah. As the baby grows, things change. Yes. And I see this baby growing and things changing in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, wise men, the Bible says they came, number one, to worship. So wise men are not put off by the fact that it's in a manger. They still come and find reason to worship. Hallelujah. They worship, the Bible says they kneeled in the manger, and they worship that baby that was in the manger. Hallelujah. And they worshiped him. Then the other thing they did is that they brought the baby gifts. Hallelujah. They didn't say, this baby is so small, doesn't deserve my gifts. See, there are many people who go to baby churches, new churches, young churches. They'll be there, but they will not put their gift there. No, no, no. This is too much of a baby to deserve my gift, to deserve my tithe, to deserve my offerings, to deserve my pledges. You know, no, 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 no. If they see a mature baby or a mature person, that one can deserve their gifts, but not the little ones. But wise people, they look at the thing in the manger and they say that, look, it is even because the thing is in the manger and the baby that we are bringing gold. Wow. Do you understand? Yeah, because babies rather need the gifts to grow. They need the gifts to grow. Babies come with bills that they themselves cannot pay. Have you seen a baby who has a job before? Do you know any baby who has a job? This Araba over here, does she have a job? Has she worked for even one day? And yet she's probably the one who spends the most of the family's money. You know, yeah. And they're the ones who spend the most, and they're ones who pull things apart and destroy things, and they contribute nothing. But it's the nature of a baby. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is why babies need help. Babies need gifts. Babies need support. Babies need people to believe in them. And babies need people to pay their tithe. Babies need people to say, you know, it's just a baby, but it still deserves my gold. Hallelujah. And these people brought their precious gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the Bible says they brought them to this baby in the manger. If you had gold, would you put it in a manger? Would you put it in a stable where there are cows and horses and so on, plus a precious baby? Would you put it there? Most people fail that test because they cannot see any reason to put some. So they look in their pockets and find some loose coins that they don't mind losing. Because yes, if you had to give an offering in a stable, you probably find something you don't mind seeing a horse chew. And they'll take something small, something they don't mind losing, and they just drop it. And they say, it's a baby, so that's all it deserves. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage you to become one of those wise men. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To become one of those wise men and to have an eye that can see a future in a baby that is in a manger. Amen. That even though it's in a manger, it's not meant for the manger. That it will not be in the manger forever. Amen. It will grow out of the manger and become something great. The Bible introduced him as a savior, a rescuer, Something that you would like to have in the day of trouble. One day this church is going to be the greatest blessing you have. One day this church is going to be the best thing you have going for you. One day you're going to be sending a text and you will be saying, yesterday someone sent me a text, said, thank you for this church. And the person said, because of the church, I'm still married. Because of the church, my life is okay. It's because of the church, my children are okay. Because of the church. And the person was listing so many blessings that he has found in the church. Said, but that's not how, when you look at the thing in a manger, you cannot see your marriage being saved in that thing. Wow. You cannot see your children being saved in that thing. You cannot see yourself being helped in that thing. You just, that thing looks so helpless and so needy. It looks like it needs you so much. Hallelujah. Yeah. The thing looks so helpless that it looks like you are doing it a favor. Even by attending it. That is how it looks. But all babies are like that. It takes a special eye to see potential in a baby. To see a future in a baby. To see a savior in that baby. To see that this is the thing that will save me. That if it wasn't for this thing, my life would not be the same. One day each of us will have a story like that to tell. One day each of us will say that if it had not been for God putting me in this church, if it had not been for the church of God, if it had not been for the house of God, I don't know what would have happened to me. Oh, I'm sure there's so many people. I was listening to Bishop preach just, I think it was this morning, and one lady was sharing a testimony, and she was just crying. She was just crying. She said, if it had not been for the church, I don't know what would have happened to me. Can I have an amen? Amen? So I want to encourage you to have great respect for God's baby. Amen. 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 And to have great love for God's baby. And especially to see yourself as privileged because God has invited you to be part of this baby's life. Amen. As it begins. Hallelujah. That yes, it may be tough sometimes. Yes, it may be difficult sometimes. Because the baby is a lot of work. Every baby is a lot of work. Every baby is a being that does nothing for itself. You know, can only cry. Can only express its needs. But it cannot even tell you what it needs. It will just be crying and screaming all the time. When he wakes up, you have to wake up. That's what babies are. They take over your life, literally. And they take over your life until you have no life. That is what babies do. Hallelujah. So don't be surprised. That may make it tough sometimes to combine it with school and to combine it with work, to combine it with family life, to combine it with so many other things you have to do. But I want you to know that this baby is worth it. Hallelujah. This baby is worth it. The shepherds did this at a risk. They left their sheep. What if they had come back and somebody had come to take all the sheep? Hallelujah. But they said the baby is worth the risk. They said this baby is worth the risk. Is worth what risk? Our livelihood. We are putting it on the line to go see to this baby. And the shepherd said, yes, yes, it is still worth it. Let's go visit this baby. It is worth that risk. Hallelujah. I tell you that as you attend to God's baby, God is going to bless you. Your life will never again be the same. One day this baby is going to bless you. One day this baby is going to increase in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, in favor with man, in spiritual understanding, and in its ability to meet your needs. The baby will grow. Hallelujah. I mean, I've watched my children grow from zero contributors to the house to become very useful participants in the place. That so many things now depend on them. Hallelujah. I mean, look at this one right here. I mean, by the grace of God, we are blessed to have him give us all the music he's given us. Do you see what I'm saying? But I tell you that it didn't start like that. It didn't start like that. It started as a bill. Started as a cost. He started as something that throws up on you, something that takes over your life. You can't go anywhere without him. You always have to carry him with you. I remember even one day we traveled to Canada and we're trying to come back home and they wouldn't let us come. Wow. The people at the border said they won't let us come back. Wow. And this baby was in the car. Do you understand? I mean, that's not how it begins. But you see, when you look after the baby, suddenly the tables turn. You get to a point where now that baby that depended so much on you begins to give back to you. And that baby begins to become such a blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, it becomes such a blessing. That is, it just, the whole thing just boomerangs like that and it starts coming back towards you in the form of a great blessing that you are glad you have. Hallelujah. So let's encourage the baby. Let's help the baby. Let's build up the baby. Let's work for God. Let's build the church. Let's establish the church. Let's sacrifice for the church. And God is going to bless us. Because this baby will not remain in the manger. Born in a manger, but destined for a higher place. A better place. A greater place than we are today. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. And stand to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I love this baby. Hallelujah. It's a good baby. Amen. Amen. This is a great baby that God has given us. And I love this baby too. Amen. Bow your heads with me, everybody, as we bring the service to a close today. And I want you to pray for this baby. Pray that God will cause this baby to live. That God will supply all the needs of this baby. God will bless this baby. God will place his hand upon this baby. There are angels all around this baby. The angels are around the baby and around the people who attend to the baby. How could you be with the baby who has angels all around him and not have angels around you too? God's angels are with you just because of your interaction with his baby. I want you to see the privilege. It is a privilege. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to be with God's baby. It is your privilege. It is the best thing that happened to you that you were invited to be with this baby, to attend to this baby. Oh God, we thank you for the privilege. We are grateful to you. Oh God, that you put us in this. We are grateful to you, oh God, that you gave us the opportunity to be here in LA, to establish a church and to establish a congregation for you. We see this baby as our blessing. And Lord, forgive us for times when we've complained and times when we've felt tired and worn out, because we see what a privilege it is. That this is not a privilege you give to everyone. That indeed it is a great thing to serve the Lord. And thank you for choosing us and giving us this privilege. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Help us to make the most of it. Equip us, empower us, encourage us, strengthen us. Make us like the shepherds who left and went abroad to just broadcast the presence and of the baby in the name of Jesus. Make us like the wise men who came from very far away, who said distance is not a problem. That we know it's only a baby, but he is worth our effort. He is worth our sacrifice. He is worth the trip. And they came all the way and they brought their precious gifts to support the baby, to help the baby, to give the baby a chance to live. Thank you, Lord. Make us like those wise men in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.